I'd like you to take God's Word and turn with me, please, in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and we'll begin reading with verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I was going through some old things recently, and in those old things I found my birth certificate. You'd have to find something like that among old things. And I was interested to read that birth certificate again, not to prove that I was a human being, but to just reflect a little on my upbringing, my mom and dad. I noticed on the birth certificate it asked for my father's occupation, and the line out from it read nightclub operator. And just under that it asked for the name of the place of business, and the name listed on the line was Jack's Place. I could just imagine what Jack's Place was all about. Nightclub operator, Jack's Place. And the age of my father at my birth was called for, and the incorrect age was on there. He gave the age of 41, but he was a little older than that. My mother's age was asked for, and her age was incorrect also. It gave the age of 22. She was actually 20. And my name was misspelled. So, I don't know if I really exist or not, you know. But I do know from what my mother has said that she and my dad met as she worked as a waitress. And he came in and got acquainted with her. When she was just a very young lady. She had left home as a girl because of problems in the home. He had no home and never really knew his mom and dad. They knew absolutely nothing about having a family or having a home. But they met and married and stumbled through the rest of their lives together until their marriage ended in divorce. And about 2 years later, my father died. When I think about that, I think of how many people would have that story as a common story, not an uncommon story. The thing that ought to be common is that boy meets girl, both boy and girl know Jesus as their Savior. Both boy and girl know the Lord and have grown up in Christian homes. Both boy and girl understand what it means from the Bible to have a Christian home, and both boy and girl are committed to Christ to establish a Christian home and raise their children the way they should be raised. But it doesn't happen that way. It just doesn't happen that way very often. And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 as we think about the Christian home. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Christian home. I determined as a young man that when I married, I would have a Christian home. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a teenager. The very first time anyone ever explained to me that God loved me, that I was a lost sinner, that Christ came from heaven and went to Calvary and bled and died for my sins, was buried and rose from the dead, and that I would ask Him, if I asked Him to forgive my sin and come into my life and be my Savior, He promised He'd hear my prayer and forgive my sin and be my Savior. The very first time I ever heard that story, I trusted the Lord as my Savior. The first time anyone ever explained to me how to be a Christian, I got saved. Think of how many people out there just need somebody to explain to them how to know the Lord as their Savior. They just need to hear the gospel. It's not our eloquence, our intelligence. It's like the Apostle Paul wrote to Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So, just give them the gospel, let the gospel do the gospel work in their lives. People need Jesus. Husbands need Jesus. Wives need Jesus. Mamas and daddies need Jesus. Every home needs Jesus. I want to give you some advice about having a Christian home. And the advice I want to give you comes from God's Word. I have to be careful about giving advice because I want to make sure it's the right advice. Not long ago, I was speaking in a church in Virginia, and I was sort of waddling around a little bit. Somebody thought I was having trouble with my back, and so when the service was concluded, a man came up to me and said, "You're having back trouble, aren't you?" I said, "How'd you know?" He said, I know about these things. I watch you walk, and I understand. I'm seeing you go up to the platform. You're having a little trouble in your back." He said, "Listen, let me tell you what to do. I want you to take that care of that thing as soon as possible. You go to a good back doctor. Let him operate on you, fix you up." That's what I did. I've never felt better since I had that operation. And I'll tell you one thing. It's the thing you need to do. I said, "Well, thank you, sir, for being so concerned. Give me that advice." I walked on out toward the back door of the church. Another man met me, had a cane. He said, "You've got back trouble, don't you?" I said, "Well, I guess I do. Yes, sir." He said, "Let me give you some advice. Don't ever let a doctor touch you, no matter what you do." He said, "The last thing on earth you need to do is let somebody cut on you." He said, "Look at me. I'm a cripple the rest of my life. They've ruined me." And I said, "Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate the advice." You know, what's a fella to do? I was coming out of a place yesterday in a parking lot, and a lady was with her mother, and she yelled to her mother, "Hey, Mom! Did you see Oprah yesterday?" And she started telling her mother what she saw on Oprah. You know where people are getting their advice about how to raise a family and have a home? They're not getting it from God's Word. If you turn with me in your Bibles just for a moment to the book of Colossians, I want to read something to you from Colossians chapter 3. It could not be plainer than God puts it. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 18, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." God says to the husband, to the wives, submit. And ladies, every lady should have the privilege of being married to a man who loves her like you ought to love her. And the Bible says you should be submissive. You won't always have the privilege of being submissive to a man who loves you like you ought to love you, but the Bible says the wife is to submit. And when she doesn't, every time she refuses to submit to her husband, she's sending a signal of rebellion to her children. And sooner or later, it will come out in the children. There's no doubt about it. In just a few days, I'm going to be meeting with all the parents in our academy. And I've been thinking about what I'm going to say. One of the things I'm so impressed with in young children is how dedicated they are to Christ. Little children, first, second, third graders, so dedicated to Christ. I honestly would rather have them praying for me than anybody in the world I know of. I believe the channel is clear between them and God. And I've thought so often that many of those children are better Christians than some of their moms and dads. Would you agree? But I'm going to tell the parents, don't worry about being embarrassed by your children being better Christians, because if you continue to live the kind of casual Christian life you're living, it won't be long till they're just like you. They'll be just like you. Well, they believe you ought to come to church and love the Lord and tell people about Christ and read God's Word and live a holy life. But when they don't see it in mom and dad's life, before long, they'll be just like mom and dad, so you won't be embarrassed by them long. We all know which way it ought to work. Wives, submit to your husbands. Then the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. Don't let something get in your heart toward her. Love her. We find out in Ephesians chapter 5 how we ought to love her. Then the Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things. You're under their roof. You ought to be an obedient child that obeys and honors them. Then fathers, provoke not your children to anger. And anger driven in, the Bible says, to anger lest they be discouraged. Anger driven in creates a discouraged child. We see so many discouraged young people who have been provoked to anger by hypocrisy on the part of their parents, by unrealistic expectations on the part of their parents, by criticism on the part of their parents. Some of the most unkind things spoken on the face of the earth are spoken to people we say we love the most. It ought never be that way. In a Christian home, there are many things we could talk about, but let me give you some things that are easy to remember. In every Christian home, we must have fellowship. Fellowship. That's not just a church word. That's a good word for everybody. That fellowship begins not with mom and dad and brothers and sisters. It begins with Christ. With Christ. I want you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the little book of 1 John, would you? 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, First John chapter 1. Look at it again, please. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And look at verse 4. What do you get from this fellowship? These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. It's wonderful when families fellowship. To have fellowship means to have things in common. We share certain things in common. You can have the same blood carousing in your veins that others under the same roof have and still have no fellowship with people who have the same blood in their veins you have in yours. Because you have nothing in common with them. And we must find the first thing in common to be our love for Christ. There are many people who say, I don't get along with my mom and dad, and I'm a Christian and they're Christian, but we don't get along. Well, the real problem is not that you don't get along with mom and dad. It goes much deeper than that. The first and foremost problem is not a problem of the fellowship with family members. There's something wrong with your fellowship with the Lord. Somebody's got something wrong with the Lord, between them and the Lord, or it'd be right in the family. The Christian home was designed by the Lord to be such a beautiful place, a place of love, a place of spirit filling, a place of happiness and joy, a training ground for boys and girls growing up. So many wonderful things God has designed for the Christian home. Is your place a place of fellowship? You know, let me give you just a few little practical suggestions. When you're a husband, don't leave home without saying goodbye to your family. Don't walk out the door. Occasionally, I'm in a place when I see people leaving, and they don't bid one another farewell or goodbye or see in a few hours like they ought to. My wife, God bless her, she and I have tried. We've made a lot of mistakes, but we've tried. But we had a little rule. I never left the home without kissing her goodbye and telling her goodbye. Every once in a while, you know, it was not always a smiling face I kissed. But I wanted to try to leave as pleasantly as possible. When I came home, it didn't matter what my children were doing, my wife gathered my children to the door or to the entrance of the house to greet me. They were always brought to greet me. I mean, they could have been as busy as could be, but there was nothing more important than them saying hello to Daddy. He's just come home. You cannot imagine through the years what that meant to me that my children came to the door to see me when I came in. I didn't have to search through the house and go out in the backyard and try to find them. Wonderful. Simple things like just holding hands around the table, praying, eating meals together. Either turn the television off or get rid of it. Don't let it keep robbing your family of the fellowship you ought to have with God and with one another. The Christian home is a place of fellowship. Now, of course, I don't mean this in a derogatory way. My wife is a better talker than I am, though you might not think that because you hear me talking all the time. But you're going to have to talk. You're going to have to talk. We have to have fellowship. The Christian home is a place of fellowship. The Christian home is a place of faithfulness. Would you write that down? Faithfulness. People say, well, I want to be faithful to my children and faithful to my wife or faithful to my husband. It doesn't start there. It starts first with being faithful to God. Just like fellowship starts with God. Faithfulness starts with God. I shouldn't tell you this. Honey, I hope you won't mind. I shouldn't say this. Every time I say that and then go ahead and say what I shouldn't say, I just about have to get a cab home. But anyway, I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. But my wife and I decided we want to get married when we were just kids. And we did what a lot of kids in this part of the country did. We went to a place called Bryson City, North Carolina, and got married. I don't know if you knew that or not. Over 30 years ago, it worked. I think there's nothing more beautiful than a beautiful church wedding, and that's what you ought to do, but we're just silly. I was silly, and I talked her into being silly. That's really what happened. And then I talked her mother into being silly and allowing it. Her mother said to me, have you prayed about it? I said, I'll go back. And I was gone about 45 minutes, came back and said, yes, I've prayed about this, what I think I should do. And we've grown up together. And we stood there before this fellow, and when he finally got through the ceremony, he sort of felt like I did toward Evelyn. He thought she was the most beautiful thing in the world when he looked at her. And he said, hey, bud, let me tell you one thing. If you don't kiss her quick, I'm going to. That's exactly what he said. The big old guy, he said, if you don't kiss her quick, I'm going to. And I just jumped in front of him, sort of, you know, so he couldn't get to her. I took care of that responsibility in a hurry. But when we stood there to get married, you know what we're really doing? We're making a vow of faithfulness to God. Lord, I promise you that I'll be faithful to this woman. There's going to be days she might not be exactly what she is today. She's always been better than that, but you know, God. And she should be promising the Lord, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to this man. I promise you. I make this covenant with you, God. You never change. He might. You never change. A Christian home is a place of faithfulness. Faithfulness. It begins with being faithful to God, and this enables us to be faithful to one another. And there ought to be a faithfulness of parents toward children that children learn in being faithful toward parents. I know my boys did lots of things they shouldn't do. I was never surprised when one of the deacons came and told me that because most of the time they were hanging around with the deacon's kids. I was never surprised. I tried not to build up some situation where people thought that the world was coming to an end the first time my kids did something they shouldn't have done. But I'm going to tell you one thing they needed to know. They needed to know that mother and daddy were there and they would be there when they came back. They need to know that. It's a place of faithfulness. You may get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning and says, Daddy, come and get me, or Mama, come and get me. But they ought to know they can pick up the phone and call you. God forbid you ever get it, but they ought to know they could call you. I love that story in Luke chapter 15. When that boy started home, he just knew his daddy was going to be there. He already made that speech, I'll arise and go to my father and say to my father, he knew where he could find his father. And I would to God that we knew where we could find our fathers and our mothers and our sons and our daughters. A Christian home is a place of faithfulness. And then may I tell you that a Christian home is a place of forgiveness. It has to be a place of forgiveness. I have been forgiven everything. Jesus did that for me. He did it all. And we must forgive. Forgive. You know what forgiveness does? There's sin. There should be repentance. You say, there's no repentance, no change of mind about this matter. There should be repentance and forgiveness. But the Bible, in the illustration Christ gave, said if a person says he's repented, just take him at his word and forgive him. God forgives us. We're to forgive others. We're to forgive others. A Christian home is a place of forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't just say, I forgive you for what you've done. Forgiveness gives up any idea to retaliate or to get even or to bring it back up. That's what real forgiveness does. People say, I can't forget it. No, you can't forget it. God made us that way. It's there somewhere in your mind. Forgiven people may not forget. And those who forgive may not forget. But when you genuinely forgive, you make an agreement with God. You're not going to keep bringing it up. You just don't do it. The door is open. God waits with open arms to forgive us. He's a God of wonderful mercy. I never cease to be amazed at that. He loves me. I can come back to Him, not on my own merit, but on the merit of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord said that He would never leave us or forsake us. That's the strongest commitment we could possibly make to our families. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the commitment that Christ has made to us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But there are some people who have to deal with that. They have to deal with that. If you've never had to deal with that, and I thank God I haven't, thank God you haven't had to deal with it. But there are some people who have to go beyond what we've ever had to deal with. Infidelity in marriage. I thank God that my wife has been faithful to Christ and faithful to me, and I've been faithful to Christ by His grace and faithful to her. But I'm going to tell you something that may be a little harder for me to say than you might imagine, because I'm trying to help people. It's true. It's harder to live than it is to say. If you've just made a terrible mess of your life, and everything in the world's been involved in it, I want you to know there's still a way back to God. There's still a way back to God. It's the way of forgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Not for our sakes. Hey, I'm a good guy. I'm going to be a preacher someday, Lord. You know, I was born October the 10th, 1948 in Dallas County, Alabama to Preston Thomas Sexton and Ruby Lee Stanley Sexton. And I'm going to do something for you someday. So you need to forgive me and take care of me and be good to me because I'm going to do something for you someday. That's the attitude most of us take about it. That's not why God forgives us. There's nothing about us that He could forgive if it were not for Christ who's paid all our sin debt. So He can forgive us. It's God who for Christ's sake, for what Christ has done, hath forgiven me. When these people walk up here on a baby day, when we read the names of parents and see the little precious ones held in their arms, what will she be? What will she do? Who will this little darling girl marry? How will he treat her? How will she treat him? Where will they find a church like this church? This is what we want them to find. Where will they go? What will will they go through? What kind of man will this little boy become? Will he know the things of God? Will he be a spiritual leader? Will he be faithful? Would he never dream he'd be unfaithful? There's so many hopes, so many fond feelings in the hearts of people as they look at a child and think of the possibilities of life. But for so many of those lives, they do not turn out the way we hoped and dreamed and planned. I'm here to tell you, you can come home. I'm here to tell you, you can come back to God. There's a way back to the Father. It's forgiveness. Jesus loves you. He never stopped loving you. He never stopped caring for you. And you can come to Him because He loves you and cares for you. There's some families that are struggling, some young families that are struggling. They just have come up with some habits in life, and every once in a while you just lose it and you say things you shouldn't have said. You just think, well, is this going to be the way I am all my life? No. No. Jesus can change that in you if you'll give it to Him. He can change it in you. Or you can just sort of hold it to you and continue to live that way and teach the same thing to your children, and they can teach it to their children. Or you can put a stop to it by judging it in your own life and asking God by His Holy Spirit to give you victory. Choice is yours. See, I'm not a prisoner of circumstances. Jack's place? I don't have to have Jack's place. Nightclub operator? That's all my dad thought he could do. But I don't have to be that. I'm not a prisoner of circumstances. Jesus has helped me, and He'll help you. He'll help us all if we trust Him. Is your home a place of fellowship with God and with one another? Is your home a place of faithfulness to God and to one another? Is your home a place of forgiveness? Have you received forgiveness from the Lord? Are you willing to give forgiveness to one another? I tell you, I want you to have a Christian home. Let's pray together, may we?